Let's make one thing clear this morning. The Red Cross and other centers still need your blood. But the world of blood donation is changing thanks to big advances in blood transfusion medicine. Not as much blood is needed, perhaps, as in the past. Here to talk about all that this morning are Dr. Jay Menatov. He's president and CEO with the medical director of the Community Blood Center of Kansas City. Dr. Menatov, so nice to have you here.
Thank you. Good Jay. To be here.
Dr. Harvey Klein is chief of transfusion medicine at the National Institutes of Health. He joins us on the line this morning from his office in Bethesda, Maryland. Dr. Klein, nice to have you too. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Jay, let's begin with you. This idea that you guys don't need quite as much blood as you once did is going to surprise some people. Why is that? What's changed out there when it comes to blood that perhaps you don't need quite as much as you used to?
Okay, well, we're a community blood center.
Yes, so you are.
Local Kansas City community blood center.
So set us straight.
And the answer is, if you're the one who needs blood, obviously it doesn't matter. But if you look at the big picture, what we're seeing is that there's an attempt to let patients drift down and become a little more anemic before transfusions are given. And overall, that has lowered the amount of blood that's being transfused.
And the amount of blood ultimately that's needed then, if I understand correctly.
That's right. But remember, it's a limited shelf life, so we're not a bank. And platelets only have a 5-day shelf life, so if people aren't coming in every day, doesn't take long to deplete that, and red cells only 42 days.
So that makes things pretty complicated then if you just have 5 days.
It makes it logistically a challenge.
Dr. Klein, what are you noticing out there from a national perspective when it comes to blood donation and the need for it?
Well, you know, we cannot perform a lot of the procedures that have become medical miracles, transplantation, bone marrow transplantation, some of the really sophisticated surgery without blood support. We often forget that without the blood components, these miracles of modern medicine and surgery can't be done. And I think I need to remind the public that blood has been around for a century, but only recently have we done scientific studies to try to determine how much is needed and at what level you need to transfuse blood. So a lot of the changes in blood transfusion today are based on science that's really the last 15 or 20 years.
Dr. Klein, can you envision a day, say 15 or 20 years from now, when you don't need real blood from a human body? You can sort of get by without it and with synthetic blood?
Well, that's been a dream for many years, and most of the blood substitutes, what they were called, have not fulfilled the promise. They've either not been effective or they've turned out to be toxic. And again, with 100 years of history, we know a lot about human blood.
Can you envision a day without real blood, Dr. Menatov?
Well, as Dr. Klein said, this has been on the horizon for as long as I've been in blood banking, and that's been several decades. And as Dr. Klein said, one of those studies was actually done here in Kansas City. And the unfortunate answer, and all of us would like this to happen because it would be great for trauma victims, it just didn't work, and there was toxicity.
But there is such a thing as synthetic blood, though, right?
Not truly. There are oxygen-carrying compounds, substances, that carry oxygen. But in order to carry oxygen, you've got to have the right chemistry, and it has to be non-toxic. And unfortunately, that just hasn't worked to date.
You know, Harvey, what else is changing out there when it comes to the need for blood? What's affecting the need for that supply when it comes to advances in medical technology and in surgery itself?
Well, remember that demographics is destiny, and that means that we're an aging population in the United States, as well as in Europe and in Japan. And older people need more blood transfusion. Why is that? Well, because they have their hips replaced and their knees replaced. Cancer, unfortunately, is primarily a disease of older individuals, and so cancer chemotherapy requires support with blood transfusion. So the change in age in the United States is going to definitely require more support from blood transfusion.
But there are changes in the way we operate on people these days, Jay, that have affected all of this too, right?
That's correct. Surgery, robotic surgery, endoscopic surgery has changed things. So there and progress is excellent.
And that means there's less blood spilled in the operating room is what we're talking about, and putting it bluntly, right?
That's exactly right. And that's progress. And as Dr. Klein said, there's now lots of evidence at what level to transfuse patients. So there are enormous benefits. It's a great time to be a patient when you think in terms of the need for blood transfusion.
So what are we seeing in Kansas City when it comes to the amount of blood being donated each year? Jay, are we seeing increases, decreases? Where do we stand?
We've actually seen a decrease over the last couple of years. Now, when I say that, I don't want the public to think, don't roll up your sleeves, because, again, it's a limited shelf life, and it's the blood that's on the shelf today that would be required should someone have an accident or some major event. So we don't want the public to be complacent. We've done our best to balance the needs with our recruitment efforts. So if we're asking donors, we really would like them to come in, and it is important.
How much of a decrease are you talking about?
We've seen a decrease, a double-digit decrease over the last four years. Yes, this has been a significant decrease.
Is the same thing happening nationally, Harvey?
It is happening nationally. We don't entirely understand the reasons for this. In part, we thought during the recession, perhaps elective surgery was decreasing. But I think in point of fact, it's better use and more scientific use of the blood components we have, more rational use that's reduced the need for blood. Although, as Dr. Menitov pointed out, it's not really a blood bank. It's more like a blood pipeline. So you really do need to donate every day or that pipeline stops delivering.
Jay, I'm curious about this notion that blood has a shelf life of 4 or 5 days. Are you seeing any advances scientifically in that might extend the life of a bag of blood a little bit longer?
That's platelets.
Platelets, okay.
Is five days.
And tell us the difference again, if you would.
All right, so platelets are little flecks of cells that circulate in the blood. And the way I'd like to explain it is if I cut myself shaving, I'm going to put a little hole in a capillary, and you want to staunch the bleeding from leaking out of that capillary.
I do that all the time.
Do that. And it's a good thing you have platelets.
Thank goodness.
And you might not if you're getting a lot of chemotherapy, if you're having open heart surgery and you stay and the pump is a long run, the platelets don't work as well. So you want to have platelets available should those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Red cells, on the other hand, have a 42-day shelf life, so it's still not a long period of time. And there are significant advances that have been made over the years in terms of storage, anticoagulant preservative solutions, the containers that blood and platelets are stored in. And there's actually some renewed interest in that of late.
Let me get our listeners involved here. Do you give blood? Have you not given as much in recent years as you did in the past? Tell us why. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Our email address, uptodate@kcur.org. Or you can tweet us @kcuruptodate. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. And while we're on the subject of definitions, Dr. Harvey Klein, what's the difference between donating blood and donating plasma?
Well, there are several differences. For most plasma donation, which goes into making protein concentrates, the things that are used to treat patients with hemophilia, for example, those are collected on machines. The plasma is collected and the rest of the blood returns to the blood donor. Many of those blood donors are paid to go on the machines several times a month. We're talking about whole blood done strictly from volunteer blood donors. And so that's quite different. We can get plasma from those whole blood donations as well, and that's volunteer plasma.
Now, I'm wondering, Jay, given the down economy, can you still get paid for donating blood, and are you seeing increases there?
No, we haven't paid blood donors for decades and decades, since
the 70s.
But you
can get paid for plasma or something, can't you?
Yes, plasma you are paid for when it's a plasma donation at a plasma center. And as Dr. Klein said, the purpose of those donations is to make derivatives, different than what we do with whole blood. Now, whole blood donors walk away with a smile on their face.
And it's always been that way.
It has. It really has. It's incredible. I mean, our website is savealife.org. And that's what the donors are participating in. They're making a difference in someone else's life. And they walk away with a Band-Aid, a cookie, something to drink, and a great feeling that they've helped someone else.
I've done it many times. And I'm wondering, you're not seeing much of an increase when it comes to paid blood donations at all. Then you don't do it. Just not in the business.
Yeah, we don't do it. And so, no, I can't comment about that.
Okay. Let's go back to some phone calls here at 816-235-2888. David from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, thanks.
I was good. Great show because I was real curious about something. I went in to donate a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I was expecting to donate whole blood. And when I got there, they said, would you like to do a, I believe they said, double red cell donation? And I said, well, whatever you need. And they said, well, we need that. And so I was curious about how is that different than the whole blood cell? What are the advantages? How is it used rather than whole blood?
What's the old double red, Jay?
All right, so what's your blood type? Are you an O?
Yes, O negative, right.
Okay, O negative are the donors we like to have donate to you a double red cell, as you said. So this is a collection used with an automated device, and we're able to ask you to donate the equivalent of 2 units of red cells from whole blood. And as you know, O-negative donors are the universal donor. If it's someone who's in an accident, a young girl, and they don't know her blood type, what they're going to give her is O-negative blood. And so it really is that you're the universal donor, and if you're willing and we're able, you're going to help more people, and you should get 2 cookies.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was usually a funny of cookies.
So thank you.
But one more follow-up. Is that, can you get 2 equivalent pints out of that? Is that why you want it?
That's exactly right. We get the equivalent of the red cells from if you had donated whole blood twice. So we really, really do appreciate that, and it's extremely helpful.
Yeah, as I understand, I can only come in half as often.
That's correct. Every 16 weeks rather than every 8 weeks.
Okay, so it's a little more convenient for me, too.
Yes.
All right, well, great.
Thanks David.
Thank you.
How often do you reject donors?
The deferral rate is actually about 15%, so it's fairly high.
And that happens when?
At the time people come in, and a fair percent, over half of those, relate to low hemoglobin levels. So we don't want to – I mean, the principles of blood donation are we do not want to do anything that would harm someone, especially who's an altruistic donor, and we don't want to accept blood from anyone whose blood might hurt a patient.
Dr. Harvey Klein with the National Institutes of Health, how does the human body respond when it receives the blood of another person, even if the blood type matches? Are there typically any problems there?
Well, fortunately, in most instances, blood transfusion is totally transparent. That is, you don't see it as foreign. You don't have any problems with it. And virtually all of the 14 or 15 million units transfused in the United States every year go without incident. Now, there are potential side effects, as there are with any medication. There's the possibility of an allergic reaction. There's a possibility of fever. And, of course, everybody knows that certainly years ago, transmission of infectious disease was a major problem, much less so today. So we are fortunate that most people can receive human blood from a volunteer without any problems.
Harvey, how many different blood types are there?
Well, it depends upon what you call a blood type. There are actually 40 or 50 different types, but we generally consider the major types to be A, B, A, B, and O, the 4 major blood groups, and then Rh positive and Rh negative. Those are clinically the most important blood groups for compatibility. Although some patients who have very rare blood types can receive blood from a very small number of patients because there are these other blood groups.
And Harvey, what happens when a patient receives a blood transfusion but it's the wrong blood type? What happens?
Well, anything from nothing at all, if you're fortunate, to destroying those cells as soon as they're transfused. And when that happens, patients can become quite ill and can even die. Fortunately, that's a rare event.
Let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Tom from Kansas City, Kansas. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. I have O-positive blood. I've been a regular donator in the past. Recently, I've been diagnosed with high cholesterol and diabetes. I'm taking a statin drug for the high cholesterol. At the moment, I'm not taking any drugs for the diabetes, trying to deal with it with diet and exercise. Can I still give blood, or does nobody want that?
Jay Menitov.
Yes, you can still donate blood. Remember, what we're trying to do is to ask questions and make sure that donors will not be harmed by donating, and we don't want anything to be transmitted to recipients.
Cholesterol is not a factor.
So cholesterol, as long as it's under control, blood pressure under control, diabetes under control, we don't believe that that would be a risk to you as a donor, and it would not be a harm to a patient.
The big risk factors are what, Jay?
The first thing is that we said is the hemoglobin
right.
level, and we don't want to make anybody more anemic should they be anemic when they present. And we're very concerned about the transmission of viral agents. We ask a lot of questions, some of them quite personal, to identify factor or behaviors that put you at risk for transmitting an infectious agent.
How often do you have to throw blood away?
Infrequently, but the marker rate positive, the way we term it, is relatively low in terms of donors presenting who test positive for hepatitis. Fortunately, it's been a very long time since we've had a donor who's tested HIV positive.
And you do that testing when? After the blood's been donated?
Blood is donated, and it's tested, and when the results come back, and that happens within a day, then we're able to release the blood.
Okay, let's go back to some phone calls here. Let's go to Jim from Overland Park. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Quick question for you. I was a regular blood donor with O-negative blood up until a little over 2 years ago when I came down with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which has been in remission for almost 2 years now. Am I disqualified from giving blood?
Unfortunately, yes. And that is partly related to the criteria that we use. And until you're in remission for a considerable period of time, we don't think it would be good for you to donate.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Jim. Thank you.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being a donor.
We're going to have to leave our conversation there. I want to thank Dr. Jay Menitov. He's president, CEO, and medical director of the Community Blood Center of Kansas City. Jay, nice to have you.
Thank you, Steve.
And Dr. Harvey Klein, Chief of Transfusion Medicine at the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Klein, thank you so much as well.
You're quite welcome.